Good afternoon. This is Paul Kelly, and welcome to Speak Up Arkansas. This is a place to learn about and share the experiences of people impacted by the policies and practice and programs enacted by your elected officials and implemented by public officials, and whether they are having a positive or negative effect on our lives. And we want you to participate in our discussion. This program is for you. We are the voice of the people on KABF, and we are looking forward to hearing from you. We'll have discussions. I want to first do sort of a brief summary of what happens in the legislature. I sure couldn't get all of it because they are really ratcheted up right now. Things are, they're actually meeting till late in the day now, not going home early. So we know they're trying to get a lot of work done. First, in education, I wanted to talk about House Bill 733, which would privatize education in Arkansas, starting with the Little Rock School District. It actually failed in committee this week, or last week. The sponsor pulled the bill down without attempting to run it. Next up was House Bill 1593, which would transfer public tax dollars to private schools, who you might understand are not as accountable to taxpayers. This allows students to take public school funds and put them towards attending private schools. We expect that to be heard sometime this week. In the health area, as the health care task force created by Act 46 forged ahead, Governor Asa Hutchinson announced members of the Advisory Committee on Medicaid Reform. And the Advisory Council is made up of advocacy groups and state agency leaders that will work towards the legislative task work with the legislative task force to make decisions about Medicaid reforms in the state. March of Dimes held a rally on Monday. The focus was on Senate Bill 785, which allows for education and awareness signage on fetal alcohol spectrum disorder to be posted in all alcohol-serving establishments in the state of Arkansas. The bill passed out of the Senate unanimously and will be presented to the House Rules Committee this week. After-school programs, House Bill 1958, sponsored by Representative Charles Armstrong, will set aside 2% of state appropriation of National School Lunch Act monies, also known as poverty funding, intended to reduce the education achievement gap between students. These set-aside monies will fund the Positive Youth Development Grant Program to create after-school and summer programs in Arkansas. In juvenile justice, Senate Bill 982 to improve the effectiveness of the juvenile justice system is a result of a collaboration between the Division of Youth Services, youth service providers, and child advocates. It will provide oversight of commitment reduction services and create the Youth Justice Reform Board to plan and guide the system reforms forward and reduce the use of secure confinement, who do not pose a serious risk to public safety. We expect action on this bill and possibly a House version this week. Tax and budget, a tax cut on capital gains passed quickly out of committee on Thursday with an amendment to phase it in over 2 years. House Bill 1402 reinstates a 50% tax break on capital gains and allows capital gains income that exceeds $10 million to be exempt from the state income tax. These measures overwhelmingly benefit wealthy Arkansans. And finally, two bills will run next week in the committee that would benefit working families. The first is House Bill 1344, the Working Families Opportunity Act, which would provide tax credits to low-income working families in Arkansas. And the second, House Bill 1426, helps state employees by providing 6 weeks of paid maternity leave at a maximum of $500 a week. That's the summary, and now let's get down to today's show. We are going to be talking about school breakfast programs and summer meals programs. And I'm going to turn this over to Nancy Connolly, who is the Communications Director for the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance and No Kids Hungry campaign. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Paul, and I want to welcome everybody to the show this afternoon, Speak Up Arkansas at KABF 88.3. We're going to be talking about breakfast for the first half of the show because March is Breakfast Month in Arkansas. So let me introduce our panel today. Patty Barker is the No Kid Hungry campaign chairman director for Arkansas. Vivian Nicholson is the breakfast program director, and Vivian's a former child nutrition director for Lake Hamilton School District. And we have Patricia Winders, who is one of our breakfast advocates and formerly with the child nutrition unit of the Arkansas Department of Education. So I want to thank all of them for coming in, helping us with the show today. Breakfast in Arkansas is important this month. Like I said, this is Breakfast Month in Arkansas in March. And what we want to talk about a little bit about the importance of school breakfast. We know that all schools are required to serve breakfast, but how they do it is a completely new and sort of a different direction that it's going. It isn't necessarily in the cafeteria in the morning before class starts. We're encouraging people to make it part of the school day. And Patty, can you tell us a little bit about what breakfast after the bell actually is?
Sure. Thanks, Nancy. Basically and simply said, hungry kids can't learn. And so we want all kids to start the school day with that good nutrition boost that the school breakfast offers them. Unfortunately, serving breakfast in the cafeteria before the school day starts has not proven to be the most successful means to deliver breakfast to kids. And breakfast after the bell programs are an alternative way to serve breakfast, so that breakfast is offered as part of the school day. It's still that same nutritious breakfast that meets all the USDA standards, but it's offered in a new and different way. And it relieves some of the issues that were causing low participation in the previous methods, like the stigma of going in the cafeteria in the morning, if that wasn't when all the rest of the kids were eating breakfast. That it solves the problem of late buses or late carpools or long cafeteria lines or tight class schedules or kids just wanting to play outside or visit with their friends in the morning. This offers them an opportunity to eat with their friends in several different ways. In elementary schools, it can be breakfast in the classroom. They're eating with their friends and picking up their meals and walking into the classroom and eating it right there with their teacher. And there are other ways to do that. And Vivian might want to expand on those.
Yeah, Vivian, will you tell us a little bit about what breakfast after the bell actually looks like in some different schools?
Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks for having us today. And breakfast after the bell can look different in every school. Of course, every school in the state has a different building and a different schedule, so it looks different in every school. Breakfast in the classroom actually is the cafeteria workers will drop off the a hot thermal bag and a cold thermal bag with all the components of the meal at the teacher's door. The teacher brings the meal in, and as the students come in, those first 10 minutes, the child picks up their meal and eats as the teacher gets the school day started. And so the children are, of course, more comfortable in their own classroom, and the teacher is part of that, and it can be a really positive start to the day. And many teachers say it's a great start to the day. Another method would be a grab and go. In some schools, it's just easiest in the hallways and entryways to pick up their breakfast as they're on their way to the classroom. And so we call that grab and go. Grab, go to the first period classroom, and there again, eat the breakfast the first few minutes of the day, and teacher going ahead with the you know, with the, with her schedule that she has. And then also, a lot of teachers were very afraid of the mess that it might cause. But when we come back and ask those teachers, they say that the children are very careful about their meal and, you know, eating it and throwing it away. So the teacher really doesn't have any part in most of the schools, unless she chooses to, handing out the meals or cleaning up messes. She's not doing that. The children are doing that themselves, and she, you know, is just monitoring the room and a lot of times talking with students or maybe starting her lessons. And then the last one that we might mention is the second chance. A lot of students are not hungry before school. They're just barely woke up, and they're not ready to eat. But what we do find, especially secondary students, second chance breakfast is between first and second period. And they basically will grab that in the hallway and take it on into second period. And that's when most secondary children are ready to eat that breakfast. So those are some of our methods.
Well, great. And there are other ways to increase the participation rate and feed more kids, and that is sort of a new thing. I mean, it's sort of new. It's called the community eligibility provision. And Patricia, would you tell us just briefly what that is and the benefit to Arkansas schools?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. The community eligibility provision, or CEP, it's a meal service option for schools and school districts in low-income areas. And allows the nation's or the school district's highest poverty schools and districts to serve breakfast and lunch at no cost to all the enrolled students without the burden of collecting household meal applications. And this alternative saves local education agencies or school districts time and money by streamlining paperwork and administrative requirements and facilitates low-income children's access to nutritious meals, breakfast and lunch.
Now, I know that we got kind of a slow start in Arkansas, but we've picked up speed since the governor endorsed the CEP last year and continued this year. Yes. So we're hoping that that participation rate is going to continue to go up, because the more kids that eat, the better we all are and the better they are, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, yes.
So can breakfast in the classroom or grab and go, any of the breakfast after the bell programs, any of those can work in CEP schools?
Yes, the CEP can be in any of those methods, but it doesn't have to be. They can still serve at free, reduced, and paid. Tricia, you may have more to say about that.
Or maybe one thing we could do is skip to talk about the benefits to kids of the breakfast after the bell programs. I know one of our principals said that an unintended consequence of this, with having the kids, he did the breakfast program in the classroom, that kids were eating together and enjoying, and they were like a family meal, and they were really learning how to enjoy being at table with their friends. And no one expected that, but it was a very profound impact that it had on the kids.
Yes. Community eligibility also, it reduces, all children eat at no charge. They all come through the line the same as every other child. It reduces the stigma that a free child may have had, or a reduced child or paid child may have had.
Right. Some of the other benefits, just beyond that, the putting everyone on the same level and enjoying the meal together, is we've heard from principals, teachers, superintendents that the kids are better behaved, showing more concentration, better attention in the classroom. There are fewer tardies, fewer absences, and there are fewer trips to the school nurse, and fewer disruptions that actually gets them started and ready to proceed with the day of instruction, and which can only lead to better academic outcomes with something as simple as a school breakfast.
And if you want to know more about Breakfast After the Bell programs and CEP, you can go to the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance website at arhungeralliance.org. and go under programs to the breakfast programs, and you can read a little bit more about that, see some photographs. And if parents are interested in their kids, if they don't have Breakfast After the Bell in their school, Vivian, what should they do?
Well, first of all, they can go ahead to that website that you said and contact us, and we will talk with them about their school district and what their school district is offering, and maybe set up a meeting with their school administrators, child nutrition, and see if it's something that would benefit their program. So they definitely could just go through our website and contact us, and we would be glad to walk with them through that.
Good. Let me tell people that we've got a couple of minutes more on this segment of the show of Speak Up Arkansas on KABF. And if you'd like to call, and if you have a question, you can call 501-433-0088, or you can email speakupar@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to take your calls. So come on, if you want to talk about breakfast, we're all about breakfast.
And another aspect about the breakfast program is that many parents can think about as a parent of several children that went through the school system here in Little Rock. I often got a note home, or every year got a note home during testing week in April, when the school said, please make sure your child has plenty of rest and starts the day with a good breakfast before they start their benchmark testing for the year, and which we place so much emphasis on showing academic progress. And of course we want that to happen every day. They're learning all those curriculum points throughout the school year, and we think they should every day start with a good, strong, nutritious breakfast.
Nancy, I'd like to mention that we started our campaign of really working with schools in the 2011-12 school year, and at that point we Arkansas served 26.4 million meals, breakfast meals, and then we slide up to the school year 15-16, and we served 30 million breakfast meals. So we have seen a huge increase in Arkansas, and we feel that is because we have added the Breakfast After the Bell in so many of the schools in the Northwest, in the Central, in the South part of the state, all over. We have examples of schools that are serving more breakfast, and so that's been a huge success, and we're excited about that.
And so it is having a real impact on school budgets as well, so that's nice to know. Everybody needs a little bit more money in their budget.
Yes, definitely. When you serve more meals, the USDA reimburses more money to that school district.
So it's a win-win all the way around. It's good for kids, it's good for schools. It's kind of a no-brainer, don't you think?
I definitely agree.
And that's another benefit of CEP as well. It has shown that participation increases, and so that is more reimbursement for the school districts.
Yeah. So again, I want to encourage you, if you have a question about school breakfast, call us at 501-433-0088, and you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas.
And another benefit of working with Vivian and other nutrition directors all across the state is they have worked together to develop even more enticing menus for breakfast options with different schools, and some of the high schools and middle schools are often offering a breakfast smoothie that incorporates all the elements that are required for a full healthy meal.
Right.
And it's been very popular.
Smoothies have been a great success, especially in the secondary, and even parfaits, even in the elementary. So parfaits, of course, have their fruit component, the yogurt, which is their meat alternate, and then their grain as granola with that. So, and then the same thing with the smoothies, and all those components are put into one. Of course, a smoothie is blended, and the kids can take that with a lid on it to class with them, and very successful, and they get their nutrition that they need to start the day, and it's something that they enjoy.
And we can help them do that. If they want to start a smoothie program, we can help them do that. Is that right?
Definitely, yeah. We work with qualifying schools to first of all, to technically help them make a plan. All schools, we'd love to work with them. And then we do have some financial assistance for them, and also we do Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance, No Kid Hungry, and then also Midwest Dairy has money that they we can direct them with them. So we want to help them get started.
Good. I want to remind you that you can also email a question if you have it to speakupar Vivian@gmail.com.
Or if you want to reach Vivian or Patricia at the Alliance, we can be 501-399-9999. Or Vivian's email is vnicholson@arhungeralliance.org.
And you can find Vivian on the staff page of our website.
Right. I'd love for you to give me a call, and if I can help your school district, I would love to.
Great. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening this afternoon, and if you want to stay tuned, we're going to be back in about 5 minutes, and we're going to talk about summer meals. We're looking forward to school being out, and that means that there are going to be kids who don't get the nutrition that they need to have, that they depend on while school is in session. So we're going to be talking about that. So stay with us. We'll be back in about 5 minutes.
If you're sitting there in the classroom trying to learn and you haven't had breakfast, the only thing you can think about is how hungry you are.
One of the projects that the Arkansas Hunger Caucus, Legislative Caucus, and the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance worked on together was breakfast in the classrooms for the school kids. And statistics show that if children eat breakfast before they start their school day, they're going to be a lot more productive and a lot more successful in the classroom.
The Hunger Relief Alliance helped provide some scholarships, some funds to get that started here. In the classrooms in the morning, it used to be very loud. So if you would walk my hallways in the morning, you would hear noises from every classroom. Teachers trying to get started, trying to motivate kids who are coming in late, kids getting stuff from their backpacks, kids trying to catch up. Now when you walk the halls, you would think no one's here because the kids are in the classroom, they're eating. I call it the happy time because they all have something to eat, they're all motivated, they get fed, and they can start their day right. It has changed a lot of what we do in education, at least what I do in the morning. My discipline's gone down, my nurse visits have gone down, my grades and scores have gone up, so my attendance has gone up, and all I did was say yes to a free program.
Out of school time and summertime is when we really need to be feeding these kids. Well, Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance really helped us about, you know, giving us the funds that we need. When I started this program, I was spending money out of my pocket. The milk cooler. We got so we can buy additional milk for the kids. Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance also have an awesome program called Cooking Matters.
The goal of a Cooking Matters class is to work with people who are on a tight budget to learn how to cook nutritious meals within that budget. And they come to our church, and we have a local chef, who volunteers his or her time.
My favorite classes here are the ones, you know, with kids, really, because they're just like, everything kind of amazes them, and you really can't get in there and have them try things for the first time, you know, different fruits and vegetables they've never heard of or tried before, you know, so I just have such a good time, like the interaction with all of the, you know, the participants.
So this is Cooking Matters at the store, and we provide nutrition education on a budget to families that might be at risk of hunger. They go through about a 20-minute tour, and they learn about how to save money and shop better when they're buying produce, when they're buying protein and dairy, when they're buying grains, and then they learn how to compile all that into some different recipes to be able to buy some affordable and healthy meals for their family. And at the end, they get a $10 gift card to use at the store.
If it had not been for the Hunger Relief Alliance, we never would have heard of this program. A program that costs us nothing, a program that adds nothing to our day, that makes our grades better, our attendance better, our discipline better, all these great things. And if it hadn't been for the Hunger Alliance, it never would have come across my desk in a way that I could have heard it.
I want to welcome you all back to the show to Speak Up Arkansas on KABF 88.3. We're going to be talking in this segment about summer meals. You know, school will be out pretty soon, and there are a lot of kids in Arkansas who depend on school breakfast and school lunch for most of their nutrition. When school is out, these kids are at especially high risk of not getting the nutritious food they need, and we all know that sometimes they make bad choices, so the choices that they do make might not be good. We'll leave it at that. the summer meals program is one of the things that helps kids find the nutrition that they need to go through the summer so they can start school again in the fall happy and healthy and focused. So there are more than 289 Arkansas kids who qualify for free or reduced price lunch. And when school is out, these kids are often left with to their own devices. So I want to introduce our panel to you that are going to be talking about summer meals. Sakia Brown is the Arkansas No Kid Hungry Out-of-School Program Director. We have Cindy Duramus, the Chief Executive Officer of Boys and Girls Club of Central Arkansas. We have Larry Clark, who's the founder of Life Skills for Youth in Little Rock. And Leanne Hoskin, who's the Director of Communications for Central Arkansas Library System that offers summer meals programs for a lot of kids in our area. So, like I said, there are like 289,000 kids in Arkansas who depend on school breakfast and school lunch. So only about 16% of those kids are getting summer meals. So we want to talk at some point about how we can increase participation there. But I want to introduce again Sakia Brown, who will talk a little bit about the USDA Summer Meals Program and the participation in Arkansas. Sakia?
So the USDA Summer Feeding Program, SFSP is what it's called. What it does is, like Nancy said, it works to ensure that those same kids who have access to breakfast and lunch during the school year also have access to meals when school is out. They follow nutritional guidelines. There's certain credible meal components that they have to meet. And, of course, it just ensures that there's a healthy, nutritious meal served to the kids at all of the sites that participate. Programs during the summer, we really encourage our site sponsors to offer some sort of educational component, enrichment component. But the great thing about participating as a summer feeding sponsor is that you're not actually required to offer an enrichment component. So basically, if staffing or if time constraints are an issue, you can just figure out the best way for your site to be open and for you to serve the children breakfast and lunch or lunch and a supper or a snack to ensure that they have access to those meals.
And we've got one of our sponsors who'll be able to speak to that a little bit later. Let me kind of give you an idea of how big an issue this is in Arkansas. In 2016, 2.4 million meals 2.4 million meals were served to Arkansas kids in the summer. So the need is clearly there. And Sakia, can you talk about who can be a sponsor?
So in order to be a summer feeding sponsor, you have to have a 501c3. You can be a faith-based or community-based nonprofit, but schools can also participate as summer feeding sponsors. So churches, Boys and Girls Clubs, at libraries. So there are a lot of different models that can function as summer feeding sites. And some of those sites are self-sponsored, which means that they actually prepare the meals on site for the kids themselves. And some of those sites work with vendors, which means while they host a program or an activity at their site, they actually work with someone to bring the meals in to the children, which is really great. One of the biggest things is how to best make sure that we can get the meals to the kids or get the kids to the meals. So,
that's good. That's good. I want to remind you that you're listening to KABF 88.3, Speak Up Arkansas, and we're talking about summer meals. And I want to reintroduce Cindy Duramus, who is Executive Officer of the Boys and Girls Club of Central Arkansas, Larry Clark, founder of Life Skills for Youth, and Lee Ann Hoskin, who is Communications Director for the Central Arkansas Library System. And Larry, can you tell us a little bit about how you became a summer meal sponsor and what that has meant to the people in your area?
Yes. Actually, our church, Temple Baptist Church, we started a after-school program, and in 2012, we saw the need to, during the summertime, to help the kids in the community to make sure that they get a breakfast and get a meal while they was out of school.
And how many kids do you serve, do you think, in the summer, in a day?
Well, in 2016, we served over 300 kids.
Every day?
Every day.
Dang.
Yes.
And you deal with life skills.
Yes. Also, we have the program is pretty much a 9-week program, and we offer not only a feeding program, but we have a great academic enrichment program, and we focus on literacy and technology during the summer.
Oh man! Now, kids don't have to register to take advantage of summer meals. Any kid that shows up can eat.
Correct. We are an open site, and once the kids or once the parents find out about the time, from the breakfast time from 8 to 9, the lunch time from 11:30 to 1:30, they are welcome to drop their kids off so they can participate in the breakfast as well as the lunch, but also they can stay and be a part of the education part in the morning time, field trips, and as well as our robotic piece that we'll be adding this summer.
Oh my. Cindy, can you tell us a little bit about the Boys and Girls Clubs, about your programs?
Absolutely. The summer feeding program, actually we have the program year-round, and last year we served about 217,000 meals and snacks last year.
Wow.
During the summer, it was around 40,500 meals and snacks. So it's so important for the kids in the clubs. You know, you can just, things just go better all day long when the kids get up. We serve breakfast and a lunch.
And how many Boys and Girls Clubs are there?
Oh, we have 6 locations. We've got 2 in North Little Rock and 4 in Little Rock. So we'll serve probably well over 1,200 kids every day through the summer, the Boys and Girls Club, you know, the kids that are there on a regular basis every day. So it just, you know, when they're hungry, they lack energy, they're lethargic, they argue, the day just doesn't go well for them. So when we really started, we had tried to prepare the meals ourselves and make sure they had something to eat. But when we got a sponsor or to help, you know, cook the meals and bring them in for us, it just really started to grow, and the kids really look forward to it and depend on it, actually.
So you think that they enjoy it?
Yes. I mean, good. I think it just makes their whole day go better. I think a lot of times kids, when they're hungry, they don't really know what it is that's making them grouchy or not get along, that you can just see the whole, like I said, their whole attitude, just everything about them just changes when you fill their tummies up.
Leanne, tell me a little bit about how the Central Arkansas Library System has become involved in summer meals.
Sure. We actually do the meals all year long at 8 of our locations. And like Cindy, we just saw the need for feeding kids and what a difference it makes in children after they've had those meals. So we work with the Arkansas Dream Center and partner with them, so they deliver those meals and snacks to us each day. And then along with that, with the snack and meal, we offer a program to go with it, whether it's homework help or tutoring in the summer or a craft or something like that.
And how long have you been doing this?
We have been doing it, I believe, for 2 years.
Oh, great. Great. Well, Sakia, do you think that you can tell us a little bit about the barriers to kids getting summer meals? I know that we've talked about kids in rural areas. There aren't school buses that bring them into a central place, and so we're looking for ways around that.
So across the board, I would say the biggest barrier for kids accessing summer meals is always transportation. Transportation, especially in rural areas, is an issue because most of the kids now, there's not a lot of neighborhood schools, so most of the children are bused in. So while they're bused in and assured that ride to get to school during the school year to get breakfast and lunch, once school is out, there isn't a central place, which is why faith-based, community-based organizations, Boys and Girls Clubs, library systems are really great, because those are safe places where parents feel comfortable dropping their kids off. They have programming going on. But also, when we look at other areas that can work, there's also the mobile feeding aspect. And so when we do mobile feeding, that means that we can work with sites, and those sites ensure that the meals get to the children. So, for instance, we have some models where sponsors like the Dream Center or other sponsors that are a stationary site will have satellite sites. Some schools do it. So what they do is they pick a community spot, and it may be a local apartment complex. It may be a local playground, a pool, but some centralized spot where they know children gather during the summer, and they can actually provide mobile meals to the children at those sites. But those are just some of the barriers, you know. Like I said, across the board, transportation would probably be the biggest one.
Now, when people bring their kids to a summer meal site, they don't have to sign anything. They don't have to answer any questions. They just bring their kids. Is that correct?
So if you're an open site like Coach Clark, most of the sites that we work with, Central Arkansas Library System, they're open sites. Now, the meal itself, during meal times when they're served, and I believe the Boys and Girls Club also, the children are welcome to come and eat the meal. There's no requirement for them to eat the meal. They are, of course, counted in the meal count, but there is no paperwork that the parents have to sign. There's no sign-in sheet for the children to make sure that they're there. Now,
There's no identification required.
That's separate from the other programming aspects that the sites might have going on. So while you might not be required to sign in or sign anything for your child to actually eat, if the Central Arkansas Library System is having story time, or if Coach Clark is offering a tutor program, or if Boys and Girls Club has basketball going on, then they probably will require the kids to sign in to participate in the activities. The meal itself, it's free and open to anyone 0 to 18 can partake.
Well, I want to remind our listeners that this is Speak Up Arkansas on KABF 88.3. And if you have questions, please do call at 501-433-0088. If you have questions about summer meals and how to find them, we're gonna tell you about that in just a second. So there are a lot of ways that people can find out where their kids can eat. One way that that we have found that's been one of the easiest ways is for parents to text food, the word food, to 877-877. And they will ask you your zip code, and they'll return to you via text the locations of your sites. And we'll go into that a little bit later. But I want to go back to our sponsors and ask you to tell us a story about kids in your plans, in your summer meals programs that have been especially, you think, benefited by this. I know, Coach, you go year-round. Your programs go year-round. So just tell us about what this kind of intervention you think has helped in the kids' lives.
Well, yes, definitely with the, with the summer feeding program, it's first of all, it's an awesome opportunity, as Sandy mentioned, to really bring the kids in and to, you know, kids have food at home, but sometimes they don't have the right food and have healthy food.
Do you find that the parents really get involved in this and really appreciate it?
Yes, and we have an awesome parent support group, and they really do, and they really appreciate what we do for the kids in the summertime.
You know, we've had some information through our friends at Share Our Strength in D.C., and they've said that summer, having kids out of school, costs families an additional like $300 to $400.
Yes.
And for a lot of families, that's a big heavy lift in the summer.
Yes, especially when we have parents that have 3 to 4 kids. And of course, one of the things you asked about is a story. And of course, what we see, and especially on Mondays, we see a large group of kids definitely show up on Monday, and it just seemed like they didn't have anything to eat, or they didn't get the proper food to eat over the weekend. And also, we have a large number on Friday, because it's almost like they're saying, this might be my last good meal. So over the last 6 years, we have really noticed Monday and Friday, those kids really come in and make sure that they get something to eat.
Great. Leanne?
Sure. The one thing that sticks out most in my mind is our children's library, which is located south of 630 in the around the Fair Park, directly across from the zoo. We have a lot of kids in the summer that walk to the library, and that neighborhood is very much a food desert. There's no place that kids can go to get good, healthy food. They can get snack food, packaged things at convenience stores, but there's no other place for them to get food. So coming to the library is their day-to-day. They're there from open to close. So having the benefit of those meals really makes an impact on their summer.
And it helps prevent that summer slide that we hear so much about.
Yes. And it does pair along nicely with our programming, our summer reading club, our gardening programs, and things like that.
Cindy, tell me a story.
Oh, my goodness. As soon as you said that, I thought of a thousand stories. But I did want to add to what Larry was saying, that because I was just getting ready to say Mondays and Fridays are really big days. They really are. But also what we want to add to that is also having them understand the healthy and also needing them to be the physical aspect of it. So we do have a healthy habits program that goes along with it at one of the sites. We have a garden that the kids are, they'll grow their own vegetables, and then they'll bring it back to the club and cook it that's right there at the garden. And so then we also do the program where we also make sure that they're getting some physical activity. So it's really a whole component to making sure that they are healthy and they do understand the healthy part. But they're so...
When do kids start signing up, or parents start signing their kids up for your programs? When should they start thinking about doing that?
For the summer?
Uh-huh.
They can start calling the clubs now. It's hard to believe it's time to plan summer, but it's here. It's ready to go.
And Sakia, can you say a word about if there's anybody in our listening audience whose church or organization might be interested in being a summer meal sponsor? Can you tell them how to do that?
Sure. If you have a church or a community-based organization that is interested in becoming a summer sponsor, you can look at the information that's available on the dhs.arkansas.gov website. You'll go under special nutrition programs, and so that's always available. But one of the other things that you can do is reach out to me. I work, as Nancy said, as the out-of-school and summer feeding programs director for the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance. And so you can always call me there at the Alliance offices. That number is 501-399-9999, and we are more than happy to get you the information that you need to find out if you're eligible to be a sponsor. And if you're not eligible to become a sponsor yourself, we're also happy to pair you with organizations in your area that might be able to become a sponsor or need volunteers and need help with summer feeding programs.
And Larry, we've worked with your group for a long time, and I wonder if you can just speak to the way the Alliance and the Arkansas No Kid Hungry campaign helped you through your sponsorship.
Oh, yes. From starting out in 2012 with my first summer program and just knowing about DHS and going through the application process, and then DHS in turn the next year in 2013 your organization, Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance, to come in and talk about some of the small scholarship that can help with some of the barriers from, you know, transportation to buying more tables to buying a milk cooler. So the collaboration of the different organization, and also in 2014, in March of 2014, Billy Shore with No Kid Hungry came to visit the site, and that opened up a big door also to just more partners, getting more partners involved, and that really helped me continue to grow my program in the summer, not only, like I said, not only the feeding program, but also the educational part that our kids need during the summer.
And Sakia, can you talk a little bit about what we can do to help people who want to become sponsors, and then maybe we can ask Cindy and Leanne what their experiences have been?
Sure. So what we offer sponsors or potential sponsors free of charge is technical assistance. Everything that we can walk you through, including the application process, working with DHS. And one of the things that we offer that Coach Clark kind of touched on also is we offer summer feeding and after school feeding grants. Those grants can be used to cover the cost of staffing. They can be used to cover the cost of purchasing equipment. They can be used to cover the cost of transportation, whether it's getting the kids to the food or getting the food to the kids, whichever is the best way to do it. And if you are a returning program or a new program, one of the things that we encourage is that we want you to expand access to your program. So that's really important to us also. So if you are currently a program or thinking about becoming a program and you know 25 kids that you know will be there, we want to work with you to best figure out how to expand your capacity. If there's 25 kids this summer, what do you need or what can we help you with to bring in 50 kids next summer? And if it's programming, one of the things that I think all of our panel touched on was the fact that programming is a big aspect, and the kids that we work with, the kids that benefit most from this program, are affected adversely by what we term the summer slide, where what they have learned during the summer, they kind of forget. There's so much other things. And really what it comes down to is they're basically just trying to survive this summer. So when we can find a program that offers any sort of educational component, whether it's physical, whether it's homework help, whether it's tutoring, whether it's reading, we want to help support you supporting you to do that. So that's another thing that our grants can be used to cover the cost of. So,
and we should probably also mention Seamless Summer, which is the
Arkansas Department of Education also runs a program that falls in line with the program that DHS offers. So DHS offers their summer feeding program, SFSP, and the Arkansas Department of Education offers their Seamless Summer program, which enables schools to basically just continue their school lunch program throughout the summer seamlessly without the interruption or the extra. So those same kids that they serve breakfast and lunch during the school year have access to meals during the summer.
So parents could contact the school and find out if they're going to be a summer meal site this summer.
Parents can contact your school and ask if they're going to be a summer meal site. Also, if you text that food to 877-877, if a school close to you is offering summer feeding, they will actually show up and be a part of that. So, yes.
Okay. Once again, I want to remind you that you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas on KABF. And if you have a question, you can call 501-433-0088 or email your question to speakupar@gmail.com. Paul will pull that down and read your question on the air. I want to go back to Cindy real quick. We've worked with Boys and Girls Club since my first year here, and I just wonder how your programs have evolved, you think, through the years.
They really have grown, and they really have turned into something that we and the staff, you know, the people in the clubs really, I mean, it's part of their programming. It's part of what we do. And when, you know, I was thinking about when we really realized how important this is and how much we had to get behind it and support it and make sure our kids had something to eat, something healthy to eat, was we started noticing in one of the clubs that some of the, you know, some things in the concession stand were just missing. They were, you know, it might have been a package of buns or some chips and yes, I have to say we did have some candy bars, so they would just be missing, and couldn't figure out where they were going. And finally we did realize that one of the members were they needed it. They needed it home. They needed it to help feed the rest of the family, and that was an aha moment for us. That's when we realized that, you know, this is serious. No child in our state, no child in our country should go home hungry or go to bed hungry. So that's when it was really, the light came on and said, we've got to make this happen. And so that's when we really got serious and found, we work with Club Echo and got somebody to help bring in the meals, help us serve them. I can't cook 200,000 meals in a crock pot anymore. Yeah. So that's when it was time to get serious about it. And I can't say enough to the difference it makes in just how the day goes and the attitudes of the kids, and they play better, they play more, they interact more, and they don't pick on each other more, and things don't go missing. You know, it's just I don't know what we'd do without it. It's, we count on it, the kids count on it, and the parents depend on it.
Well, and you know, this kind of brings us to a point that with all the federal budgeting going on, we would like to encourage people to contact their congressman, their senator and congressman, and express their support for summer meals programs. Those will come out of the child nutrition reauthorization, which has not been taken up in 2 years, I think. My policy person is looking at me, and I don't know the answer. But we are hoping that if there are budget cuts to be made, that they're not going to be in children's programs. So we hope that you will let your congressmen and senators know that you support summer meals and the USDA summer nutrition programs. Leanne, can you tell me, give me another idea of what you all do during summer, some of the programs that you offer?
Sure, absolutely. As I was saying, Summer Reading Club, we get about 10,000 different kids. We bring in programming, whether it be things that we do here as far as tech and makerspaces go. We also do a lot of gardening, especially at the Children's Library. Last year we gave over 9,000 pounds of food away from our gardens, which is really meaningful in that neighborhood. And we've worked a lot with the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance. You all have helped us so much, whether it's getting the mobile farmers market there or encouraging us to do other programming around our summer meals and just getting, letting kids
and
get knowledge.
And Sakia reminded me that you do Cooking Matters, which is one of our most popular programs. And Larry's shaking his head, yeah.
We all do it in the clubs, too.
Yes, Cooking Matters is a very important program that kids learn from, you know, how to get food from the farm to, or not the farm rather, but from the garden to the table. And that's a very important program at Children's.
Because you use the vegetables out of your garden to,
yes,
in your Cooking Matters.
So right now we're going through planting so the kids can actually go and plant. And this summer these same kids can harvest that food and then go in and participate in that program in Cooking Matters and see the full circle.
And, you know, we probably should say a word about our, since you mentioned the mobile farmers market.
Yes.
You can go on our website and see the locations. This was a retrofitted city bus. It happened through a wonderful partnership of a whole bunch of different entities. But we've got a schedule. It goes all over the city. Mm-hmm. The SNAP benefits are great. They have the double up bucks so that people that are on SNAP benefits can get twice the benefit on produce there. So I would urge you to go to our website and go to the SNAP program, and we've got the itinerary of where the bus stops. And I know that it stops at the Hillary Rodham Clinton Children's Library. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, it is an impressive sight to see. I was so excited to see that bus roll up whenever you all brought it to Children's. And it was just amazing for the neighborhood to get to experience that because, as I mentioned before, it's a food desert. So having access to that food, whether they, you know, at a reduced rate, it's an amazing opportunity, and it's an amazing amenity to add to that neighborhood.
That's great. Yeah. Coach, have you done Cookie Matters?
Yes, I have.
Are you doing it now?
Yes, we're going to do it again this summer. The kids, actually, they really loved it. Yes.
You guys are like our hat trick. You do all of our programs. We love you. Cindy, do you do Cooking Matters?
Yes, in a couple of clubs they do, and they love it, and the parents, you know, it's not just at the club. The kids take this home with them. They take what they're learning at home with them, and they really enforce it in their homes as well.
So. Well, and one of the things that we have found with the Cooking Matters curriculum and the store tours, there's one where they go through the store and learn how to cook and buy. On a budget. But we have found that reduces the likelihood that someone would remain food insecure by about 50%. So these are programs with a huge impact on people's lives, and we're just so tickled that we can be part of that. So, Sakia, would you tell people one more time about how they can find out where a summer meal site is for them?
Sure. They can text FOOD, F-O-O-D, to 877-877. It'll ask you to put in your zip code. When you put in your zip code, it will give you a list of the nearest places to that zip code where your children can find summer feeding meals. Also, you can check with the DHS website. I would encourage you, if you're looking for summer programming for your children, to check out Central Arkansas Library, Coach Clark's program, Life Skills for Youth, and, of course, the Boys and Girls Club of Central Arkansas. I think Cindy said they're taking applications for summer right now. And you can always check on USDA or DHS website, USDA.gov or DHS.arkansas.gov, and they will also have a list of summer feeding sites.
And again, I'd say go to the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance website, and you can always find links to all of those that the resources that Sakia just mentioned. So I want to thank everybody for coming in and helping us talk about summer. Thanks.
You're listening to KABF, Speak Up Arkansas. This is Paul Kelly. I want to remind you that next week we'll be talking about immigration, a topic that I think is very timely and needs to be addressed and talked about. I also want to point out that the death penalty protest is going on between 4 and 8 p.m. at the governor's mansion to voice protests for the 8 executions that are headed our way in April. We are actually going to have a show about that on the 12th of April, just prior to that. It will start after Easter and continue through the end of the month, and it's something that a lot of folks are really upset about and want to talk about. I do want to ask you to, if you are a regular listener to Speak Up Arkansas, I would really appreciate you sending your comments to speakupar@gmail.com to tell us what you think. This is a new show. We're trying to do the best we can, and the most important thing and the most helpful thing would be to get feedback from our listeners. And any comments, the good, bad, or in between, we welcome the feedback, and because we want to hope that we are doing our part to be the place that is the voice of the people. Again, thank you for listening to Speak Up Arkansas, and we'll be back next week. Up next is Cal's Radio, followed by Bioneers. Thank you and good evening. 7% of Arkansans, 205,000 residents, are Hispanic. What are the dreams and the issues of concern for this segment of our state's population? Immigration has become a contentious issue. What effect might this have on these children and their families in Arkansas? Join a discussion with police, immigration lawyers, advocates, and those who address the needs of the Hispanic community. Join Speak Up Arkansas this coming Wednesday, March 29th at 5 p.m. and be a part of the discussion.
This is KABF in Little Rock, 88.3, the voice of the people in Central Arkansas.